Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study every single day, only about 13, 14 minutes usually, but that keeps us in God's Word, and that's important for the strength, the development, and the growing stronger of our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. But it also helps keep us with a more positive spiritual focus on life to deal with what life throws at us every day. And that's important for us, to stay positive. So help people in your life grow in their faith, come closer to God, and get to heaven by getting them into God's Word through these short studies. Share through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may help somebody truly turn their life around for eternity. Great blessing for them, but for you as well. Start sharing today. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. Do you have your spiritual survival gear packed and ready to go? Well, we've talked about somebody who likes to go out hiking through the forest, out through the wilderness, maybe camping out in the wilderness, and how they need to have survival gear packed. Now, we might say first thing, somebody's going to go camping, they're going to bring a tent, right? Sleeping bag. Well, but those are necessities, but they're not necessarily the purest kind of survival gear. They're going to need some things that really are going to enable them to survive. Now, those are going to give them some comfort, perhaps, but they're going to need an accurate map to plot their course to wherever they're going through whatever kind of wilderness they're going through. And they're going to need to be able to have that map accurate so they know how to get back out. They're also going to need to have a compass to make sure they're going in the right direction, and also to guide them as to reversing course in the right direction to get back home. They're going to need some kind of light, a form of light in some way, not a candle, because they're going to be out in the wilderness and probably going to be, you know, brush and trees around them. And if they're traveling through the forest, they're going to have this canopy of trees all around them and over them, and they don't want to have an open flame carrying them, being carried with them through, you know, the trail as they're going through that wilderness area. They're going to need a good light, a reliable light, flashlight, some kind of beacon light, something to guide them there, guide them while they're there, light up the way, help them see where they are and what's around them, but also to guide them back home. And they're also going to need a first aid kit with some good, solid pieces of first aid equipment within that kit in case an accident happens. They're going to need to know how to treat it, and they're going to need to be able to have the access to the, you know, equipment that can treat, they can use to treat that accident, that injury, whatever it might be, successfully and effectively. Well, we're talking about spiritual survival gear, though. We're just using those physical elements, pieces of equipment, to illustrate that we need to have equally, and even more important, we need to have a spiritual survival gear kit always with us, because we're always, in our physical life in this world, traveling through a wilderness of sin, because this world is engulfed in sin. The scriptures tell us that this world is under the sway of the wicked one. Well, so we need to know how to navigate our way through this physical life in this physical world successfully, accurately, because we're pointing toward heaven. That's where we want to be, where we want to end up. So we talked about, just as that hiker, that camper needs an accurate, up-to-date map to guide him, we need a spiritual, accurate roadmap, and that is the Bible, God's Word. God's Word. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It's a guidebook for me. So we talked about a number of scriptures that identify God's word as guidance, as assurance, as hope, as direction, as the basis for our faith and ultimately our eternal blessing of life in heaven with God at the end of this physical life. And we must abide in God's word. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, live in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And then he goes on and says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It shall make you free, free from the guilt of sin, but also free from condemnation, and ultimately give us that land of freedom spiritually, and that's heaven itself. God's word guides us in that way. God's word is the truth that will guide us to that ultimate destination of success, eternally, eternal life. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul told the elders at Ephesus, I commend you to the word of God, the word of God, which, you know, ultimately is going to guide you in the right direction and equip you to be able to help people that you're supposed to be spiritual guides to yourselves as elders within the Lord's church. Now, our compass. Our compass is our conscience. God created us unique from everything else that he created in this world. Now, we have heart, we have a circulatory system, we have, you know, respiratory system, and on and on and on. Not all animals, and certainly plants, don't have all of those same systems that we've got, but many of the animals do. But he created us unique from everything else in that he created us with a soul. And so part of having a soul is having a conscience. And so God has blessed us with a compass that is our conscience. And it is set, it is conditioned, and it is guided by God's teachings. Jesus talked about those two ways through life. There are only two. There's no middle of the road. He talked about that one way that is straight and narrow. It is the pathway of God's truth that leads us to heaven. But he said few are traveling down that pathway through life. Why? They're off track. He said the other pathway is wide and broad, but it leads to destruction, eternal condemnation and hell, because that's the pathway of sin, of unrighteousness, wickedness, evil. And he said many are going down that way. How sad. Well, why are the many going down the pathway of self-destruction for all of eternity? They're not following their compass. They're not following the compass, which is their conscience, which should be conditioned in their lives by the teachings of God's word. Now, probably they have simply neglected to set their compass by God's word, and thereby they're going off in the wrong direction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talked about two different kinds of sorrow. And the difference between the two is our conscience. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I want us to read verse 10. Now, Paul is writing in regards to what he had instructed the leaders in the congregation at Corinth, the measures he had instructed them to take in regard to a young man within the congregation who is living in outright sexual immorality. He was having an affair with his stepmother, apparently. So he writes this second letter, and he indicates that this man has been brought back into repentance. In verse 10, he says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Now, a whole lot of people get sorry over having done bad things in their life, over having committed sinfulness, or maybe having been caught up in a lifestyle of sinfulness, but they don't change their life fundamentally. They still continue in that sinfulness. Now, they're sorry because maybe they got caught. Maybe they have been penalized in some way through a legal process. Or maybe they have hurt somebody and they genuinely feel sorry that they've hurt somebody because of their wicked acts themselves. But they don't really repent in a godly way. They keep on doing what they've been doing. That's not true repentance. That's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces repentance. And that means you stop it. It's a change of mind that leads to a change in behavior. And that's how our conscience comes into play. Now, I want us to look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and I want us to read verse 16. The Apostle Paul had to reflect back on his past life before he became a Christian. And as I said different times, I can imagine, I can see in my mind's eye, as he was writing some of the scriptures that God guided him to write in the various books that he wrote, the various letters in the New Testament, a number of them he penned, but he was guided to write what he wrote by God through the Holy Spirit. But I could imagine in my mind's eye seeing tears trickle down his cheeks repeatedly as he would think about some of the things he did before he became a Christian, how he had persecuted the church, how he had been an enemy of Christ, how he had not even believed in Jesus, how he had done terrible things to people to try to get them to deny their faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, we read this. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Paul learned his lesson. He repented of his sinfulness. He repented of the error of his way. And he now, as a divinely appointed apostle and as a gospel preacher, he always tried to maintain a pure conscience. In Romans chapter 12, chapter 2 and verse 15, Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, we read this written by Paul himself as an inspired writer, who showed the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. We need to have God's word written in our heart. It needs to be our roadmap through life, and we need to know enough of God's word to keep us on the right path. And we need to make sure that we don't violate our conscience in the process of how we're living our lives in this wilderness of sin, which is the world. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 5, again, we read Paul's word, "Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." God has conditioned our conscience to warn us when we're straying off into wrong directions, into sinfulness, and to try to catch us. It's like an alarm system, say, whoa, whoa, you're getting off the path here. And so to get us back on course, back following our roadmap, which is God's word, we need to pay attention to conditioning our conscience properly so that it can be that piece of spiritual survival, of our spiritual survival gear, that can keep us on track and warn us when we're facing danger. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "Now the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." Next time, we're going to talk about a conscience that has been conditioned to not have feeling anymore. Let's pray. Father, help us to keep our conscience pure, to keep it effective by continuing to be students of your word and living by those teachings. Please forgive us, gracious Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.